There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and glad to have you along on this Tuesday, and it's second Tuesday of the month. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest. We'll get to him in just a second. I want to do this. Breaking news, and it won't be the, it's more staying the time playing it, Boompire Mobile, but the national news story you just heard about, people have been talking about today, the IDF. So Israel strikes in Qatar, right? In Doha, Qatar. Now, remember last time incoming ordnance was coming into Doha, Qatar, it was the Iranians firing into a U.S. base in Doha, Qatar. And we had my buddy on, Jeff, who is a buddy of mine from college, a Tuscaloosa guy. He is a petrochemical engineer and works in Doha, Qatar. And he was, when the missiles were coming in from the Iranians, they were in the backyard in his compound there, drinking beer and shooting basketball. He started sending me some videos of that, and we had him on the show and talked about it. He said today, there's a bigger news story, and you can get all the details, and we might get to it in hour number two. But let me tell you the real-world guy from Alabama perspective. So he said something on Facebook, and I said, texted him. I said, man, you can't stay out of trouble, can you? And he showed me how close the strikes were to where he lives. He said he has been gone from Tuscaloosa too long. He says it's 3 kilometers from where he lived. I'm going to have to send him something on that. Give me miles, man. And then he said, I heard the boom, could feel the report. And then he said, I want to give you something, some more detail here. So he sends me a screenshot from Google Maps, and I'll show, I have a sheriff in studio, right? So he can vouch for me. I'm showing you, is that a Google Maps?
It is.
Okay. He says, this is where the strike happened. He said, this is a little more detail. It was sent by a friend of his wife's, who's on her Dragon Boat team where they do the paddling stuff.
Right.
It's interesting that Hamas meets next to the Cuddle Castle Nursery. So it's here on the map. There's where the strike was and where Hamas's base is next to like a child care center and a KFC, Sheriff. You see, this is in Doha, Qatar.
They've got to eat.
Yeah, and so you've got the... Yeah, so Jeff sends me this. He said, this is where the strike took place. It shows it. And then nearby is the Cuddle Castle Nursery, child daycare place, and the KFC. So there's, you can get the bigger news from the national news, but I'm just telling you. And he said, hey, by the way, two things are getting back to normal. He told me last time when we were talking to him on the show, he said, things are back to normal. DoorDash is operating. And he said, again this morning, he said, we're waiting right now. I'll let you know when Talabat, which is their DoorDash in Doha, Qatar, is back up and running. At that point, we know everything is back to normal. So there's an update from Doha, Qatar, from a boy from Tuscaloosa. Sheriff Birch, good to see you.
Always good to be here.
The Cuddle Castle Nursery, where, I mean, I don't know. I just have some idea. And obviously Hamas hides among the people. They do it. They do it in Gaza.
Hospitals and
yes,
churches. Or,
you think you get these ideas. I don't know. I watched too much James Bond growing up there. It'd be underground. Well, they do have underground stuff, but bad guy fort with, in a hidden location. And to find that they're next in between the KFC and the Cuddle Castle Nursery is interesting to me.
Yeah, well, I guess they have to drop their kids off somewhere while they go commit terrorist acts.
Another, kids, I am so tired today. I'm going to be a little bit late getting you. I've been terrorizing all day, and I'm exhausted here.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. A lot to talk about before we even get into the subjects. And by the way, y'all are part of this, right? Your chance to ask the sheriff at 343-0106. Phone call or a text at 343-0106. And I've got some items I want to talk to the sheriff about, but he walks in today and it was like pulled from the mouths of the people that work here, because we work at Airport and 65, where we have the service road right here fronting us. You, as a longtime law enforcement man, just navigated that area, and you realize how dangerous it is.
Yeah, basically some idiot ran the yield sign, almost took the front of my truck off, and you know, he's fortunate I was in a hurry to get running behind.
Midday Mobile saved him.
Because the guy had no tag and probably no driver's license or suspended driver's license, if I had to guess. But he was saved by Sean Sullivan today.
Yeah, so you could send me a check, 900 Western America Circle here, and send it to care of Sean Sullivan. But the service road thing, and it's, you know, you grow up, and I know they're elsewhere in the country. I've seen them. It's not only here. But it is a unique, people come from other places and have no idea how they work. We have to drive the service road. All of us work here every day. And I just assume the person's going to do the wrong thing every time, and it's proven right most of the time.
It's an outdated way to navigate the city. You know, I don't know what the solution is. I'm not a traffic engineer, but
right.
I'm shocked that there are not more serious accidents along the service road.
Yeah, it's right. It's not that there are. It's that there are not more.
Yep.
100% agree. Also want to talk about an event you and I will be at tonight.
Yep.
Out of Baker High School.
Yep, town hall, you know, regarding fentanyl. So it'd be the second one we've done, and I think the first one was a huge success, and you know, it's all about education and educating the young people who may be making these poor choices.
You know, and the last one we did was in Sims. And, you know, one of the takeaways, I was talking to Virginia Guy and Donnie Brown the other day about it. And I said, one thing that stood out to me, y'all report, y'all make the arrest. We have these cases where people have gotten the fentanyl to these kids, died. And I read that, and it's not that it doesn't move me. But we're at the event, and one of those kids' friends, teenager, y'all, stood up and said, that was my friend.
Yep.
And to hear his testimony or his description of it, it made it so much more real. I mean, y'all hear this and your blood would run cold.
Yeah, because you get to hear the raw emotion of that person dealing with the loss of one of their friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you know, that's the purpose behind the town halls, for people to hear these real stories.
Yeah.
And not just something coming off a national headline.
And it's, you know, it's also good parents come out tonight, because it's going to give you the things to talk about. You know, I've talked about this with my friends in the veteran community on how to address veterans. And, you know, this question that was always tough for me with my friends and family way back is to ask, are you going to kill yourself? Right. It was like, I never wanted to ask that, but it's exactly what we need to do with our veterans. At this event, it teaches you, like talking to Virginia, I was like, she said, well, bring up the cases where these children have died from an overdose. And I said, ooh, that's uncomfortable to talk to your kids about that stuff, which reminded me of my father saying, if it's uncomfortable and it's hard, it's probably the right decision.
Yep.
Yeah, we don't, I mean, your dad, you know, we're dads. I don't want to bring that stuff up with the kids.
I'm a little more hardcore with that with mine, and she's not quite that age yet, but, you know, I will make her sit down and watch videos of people actually dying from an overdose, because I want that to set in her brain.
And you're right.
Share that moment with her friends. Now, they won't see it because they're not my child.
But, right.
But I want it to hit home.
And that's heavy. That's real heavy, because, I mean, we're there to – we want to protect our kids. We don't want to – you know, I don't want them to be afraid of something before they have to, but unfortunately – they have to earlier and earlier.
This day and time, because everything's in their hand on this phone. You know, things they see, and, oh, that looks fun, and it just...
When you say that, you know, you have messages running on the station talking about that the fentanyl is easy to get online. Is it, I mean, people go and... I mean, it's not fentanyl.com. I mean,
they're black market sites for it, and you know, and they change as law enforcement, you know, is made aware of them. You know,
but do they mail it to the house, or do they?
They do. They mail it to the house, or they meet up depending on the locale. You know, one thing, and I'll talk more about it tonight, but, you know, from I want to say April to August, there were a little over 700 overdoses. Four of those resulted in death.
700.
Four of those resulted in death. 129 were saved by Narcan. So conceivably, that could have been another 129 deaths had Narcan not been used.
Wow.
And that's just here locally.
And you said it's even, you know, we've had some improvement since securing the border, but it's still going to get in here. I mean, if there's a demand, it finds a way.
You're right. It is. It'll make it in. And we did see a downward trend, you know, for probably about a year. And again, but they just get more innovative in how to get it in. And, you know, a lot of it is through the mail nowadays. And, you know, don't want to get into our techniques, but, you know, a lot of it is coming through various delivery systems.
Delivery systems. Okay, I'm trying to read.
Companies.
Okay.
You know, whether it be the post office, or FedEx, or UPS, you know, they find a way.
Okay. Coming back, I got folks on hold. We'll get right to you if you're on the phone lines and get your text read as well. All at 343-0106. Your chance to ask the sheriff. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Burch, our guest this hour on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and your chance to ask the sheriff this hour, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Burch, our guest. By the way, Grant and others saying that Sullivan saved the day for the guy with the... I can't have that on my conscience. It just worked out that way. All right, now let's go to the phones, and then we'll get to more text here. First up is Lisa. Lisa, you're on with Sheriff Burch.
Good afternoon. Hey, I just had a general question. If an individual that lives in the county needs to speak with an investigator or a detective in the sheriff's office, but there is no case pending, how would an individual reach out to speak to a detective?
You could, depending on where you live in the county, if you're on the north side, you can call the Sims substation. If you're on the south side, call the south side substation. And, I mean, we can always talk. You don't have to have a case number for us to talk with you, because sometimes you need to talk through that process to see if you need to open a case.
Yes, sir. Okay. And I hate to kind of throw this out there, but I tried 3 different months in a row and called downtown and was told to leave a message for a detective. I did it about three different weeks, not, you know, once a week, and never had one return my call. And this happened between the months of March through about June. I don't recall which month, but I never could get one to return my call. Is there another way, an easier way to speak with someone?
Well, number one, I apologize. And yes, ma'am, there is. You leave your number here with them, and somebody will call you within the hour, I promise.
Okay. Yes, sir. I may do that. It's a closed case now, but I may do that. I had adverse reaction. No one returned the call. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Leave your number. We'll call you.
Okay. There you go. Lisa, thank you. Actually, I mean, if you want to do that, I'll put you on hold, Lisa, and Leanna can help you. We'll get that information from you. All right. This one from Jason. Can you ask the sheriff how to handle what sounds like explosions? Jeez, that are every 20 to 30 minutes in the Cushla-McLeod area. This goes on throughout the night, and it gets really old. Let me interject. I can imagine. It's hard to pinpoint exactly where it is. I think it's at the end of Oak Cliff. Thanks.
I mean, we can certainly, you know, now that we're aware of that, we can, you know, increase patrol out that way and see if we can isolate where they're coming from and see exactly what's going on.
Explosions all night long.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a number of things. Yeah. You know,
jeez, please.
You know, if it's something commercially, they shouldn't be doing it while people are sleeping. And again, you know, I'll have the guys look into that, see if we can isolate where it's coming from.
Yeah. Thank you for that heads up. All right. There's a bunch of text about the same thing. So, and I had that question as well. So I just kind of put them all into one. So if I don't call out y'all's name, don't get upset. Y'all's thoughts right now on the situation at Big Creek Lake with the Sheriff's Department and enforcement there. I know there was, you know, the event on Sunday and people kayaking on the lake. What's y'all's response from the Sheriff's Department?
It's been the same from day one. You know, we are responsible by contract to patrol the properties of Moss. You know,
beyond just the Sheriff's Department, y'all have a contract with
Moss. Okay. Yeah, it's been, I think we had it since 2003, I think. But again, that's to patrol their various properties. As far as like Sunday and some of these incidents where they're on the water, you know, we're obligated by law, if someone being Moz wants a report, we will write them a report. You know, just like Sean Sullivan can say, hey, that car is weird, I want a report about it, we'll write you a report. And those reports are being written, you know, with the information gathered from the individuals.
It's not an arrest, though. It's not a ticket.
It is not. There's a, you know, we turn those reports over to Moz, and it's up to them whether they want to pursue charges of any kind. You know, there was one incident that they did allege, you know, criminal violation. We gave them a warrant slip, and that's up to them after that what they choose to do with it. So,
is this the sheriff's office?
Unless your feet on the ground on Moz property, you know, we're not going to arrest you for trespassing by being on the water.
Yeah. Well, this is okay. So, and the one of the damage, was that the boom?
Yeah, that was the boom incident. But again,
I've been thinking, it's like I know you've got one thing you've got to do in contract. I'm a regular guy, but I've been around booms and I've been around kayaks.
Yeah.
I don't know how the polyethylene kayak could damage the boom.
Nor do I.
Okay.
But again, I'm not a boom expert or.
But I've just been around enough.
I've been around them too, you know, in various waterways.
I mean, if you're in the Ranger bass boat and you're running, you know, lined out, yeah, you're good. But the kayak is.
Yeah, should just glide right over it. But again, you know, just to be clear, the sheriff's office is not going to enforce any kind of trespassing
unless you're on the land, which you've always done.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, because that's one of the things about on the water. And I've been watching this story, and I guess I have a little experience with it, but figuring out how to do canoe floats through my 20s, 30s, 40s, and maybe now into my 50s, but hadn't done it lately. But we'd figure out where we could legally put in mm-hmm. and legally take out. Right. And it was always like, hey, man, if you put in there, you could take out, you got to go an extra 2 miles, but you can legally take out there. You know the thing, right?
I do. Yeah. So
and as long as you didn't get off on the land, you didn't trespass, you're, you know, floating the Escatapa or something like that. So I looked where one of the stories, I can't say I'm aware of every story, but one of the stories where they accessed was legal public access.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at it and, you know, I've run those programs that have the tax map and the satellite over it and all that stuff. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, they legally access. So if you could get in there, even though Moz owns a ton of land north of the lake, there's this one window where you could get in. If you didn't then step on the land.
Yeah, there's another, I guess, section of land that's owned by a state agency that has said they're not going to prosecute trespassing. So, you know, I'm certainly not encouraging people to get out there and do those things. But
the state has come back, or you know, Chris Blankenship came back with a memo that came out of DCNR and the state saying that they believe people had the right to be on that water.
Yep. Yeah, I'm more talking the land as far as access.
Right.
You know, there's a state agency that owns a mm-hmm. swatch of land, and mm-hmm. they've said they are not going to pursue trespassing charges for people accessing that land. And that
then
allows
once you get to the water then – y'all just will write a report.
If it's
somebody legally accesses and they're on the water, you're writing a report. You're not writing a ticket or making an arrest.
Correct.
Because, again, somebody here on the text line, unnamed texter, said, does he mean the people's property? I'll say this. I've been watching. I'll let the sheriff chime in. But I've been watching what's going on here for a while, like you said, since y'all been enforcing. The land owned by Moz around that has not been for access to the public. I mean, it's been trespassing for the longest time.
Right. It's never been public land. Yeah. I mean, it's fenced off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is not, that part is not, like, I see a lot of the argument made to be on the lake, but, like, to say that they all of a sudden decided, no, y'all been enforcing trespass laws on the lake for long, on the land, not on the lake for
right.
a long time.
We have never done it on the lake.
Yeah, I'm just saying the land surrounding. Like if somebody's off hunting or four-wheeler riding or whatever, they can't do that on that land.
Correct.
Okay. So that has not changed. That's been, at least in my small experience, that's been what y'all been doing for.
So I want to say the contract started in 2003, where we patrol their various properties and, you know, have keys to access the properties. But, you know.
And there's, you know, I look at it. If y'all ever go on look at the maps, it's not just around Big Creek Lake. There are these corridors that Moz has with their aqueduct system and all those things, right, where they had these corridors of land to where the water is not just Big Creek Lake where they had these parcels.
Correct, correct. And, again, I hope this will be resolved sooner than later. You know, I can't, you know, inject my personal opinion, but I think people can read between the lines of what my opinion is, you know. But I'll just be ready for it to be over with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will for sure. All right, coming back from the news break, we'll get more questions at 343-0106. I have some concealed carry questions. I have some waiting period questions. We'll talk some guns when we come back as well with Sheriff Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and a good chance for you to ask the sheriff. You got a question of the sheriff, Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour. Go to this one from Butterknife. Said, Sean, this is a real life story. A person who's never had a run-in with the law and never had a mental issue was a Sunday school teacher, worked for the church. Had a complete breakdown, his brain goes and legally buys a gun and commits a horrendous crime. Had there been a waiting period of just a few days, would that crime have been committed? Nobody knows. If you ask the sheriff, can we bring back a 1 or 2 day waiting period for guns? It would change. Would it change anything? Nobody knows, but it would have given me time to get him help. All this happened within 24 hours, and I am pro Second Amendment.
Well, as am I, and you know, I guess the only real answer is no. You know, if someone is determined to commit an act, you know, whether you wait a couple of days is really not going to make a difference if they're committed to doing that. You know, it's, you know, there will always be unfortunate incidents that you can what if to death.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm not a fan of the waiting periods. If you can legally purchase a gun, then you ought to be able to walk out the door with that gun.
By the way, too, just a side note, when you have, and my renewal thing came in, my online, so a couple things on your concealed carry permit. Number one, I like to bring this up every time because most people would not know. When it's time to renew, you'd say, well, heck, I'm just going to get a lifetime. Y'all don't get a lifetime. Can you explain why?
Yeah, the one thing they have changed is now you can only get a 1 year, 5 year, or lifetime. Mm-hmm. If you get the lifetime, all that money goes to the state.
100% y'all goes to Goat Hill.
Yep.
Now, if you get the one
or the five, the money stays here.
Okay. I mean, it's devious, man. I don't know if they just, I say this every time, I don't know if they stupided into that when they wrote the legislation or it was devious, but because people will say, well, you know, I want to get back to, you know, I'm going to get a concealed carry permit for XYZ, plus I want to get back to my county's sheriff's department. But yep. If you do the lifetime, which would be my normal reaction, just like I did all those years ago with the hunting and fishing license, you're like, well, heck, lifetime, just go ahead and get it. That all goes to Goat Hill, y'all. None stays with the sheriff's department.
That's right. You know, and
so do a one or a five.
One thing, too, that you'll see a change, and you know, I'm sure folks will be mad at me, but I didn't do it. We've been doing for $20 for years. After our last audit, you know, we've been violating the law. They're supposed to be $25, so we did have to increase that.
People, you know what? This is a civics lesson here too. You know, a constitutional officer, the sheriff, but we have a system in our state where counties have to ask Mother May I to the state to do things, right?
Yep. And again, I was able to.
The state tells you how much you're going
to
charge.
Claim ignorance for a long time, but I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, the state says even if you wanted to make the permit $5, the state says it's $25.
Correct.
And you as a sheriff, even though you're the constitutional officer in this county, you have to do what the state says.
It's within the law. And
I just want people to know that. Yeah. Because sometimes people hear stuff and don't know. Hey, I was the same way before doing this for all these years. I'm like, why would they do that? Well, because Montgomery said they.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. we do have a lot of leeway in a lot of things, but we have to follow the law always.
Scott asks, Sheriff, does Alabama recognize Texas law for 18 to 20-year-old to have and carry firearms with a Texas concealed weapon permit? It went into effect in 2023 in Texas.
I mean, we are a reciprocal state with Texas, so if that permit is legal there, then it's legal here. So
okay. And you and I have talked about this before, too. Concealed carry permit holders, I mean, it's if we're going to, even though you say it's we don't need them in Alabama, but if you're going to travel, you got to have them. But also, before our road trip, like taking the daughter back to college or my son and I did a road trip, you can check the websites. There's a bunch of them that shows you who recognizes. Yep. And they all don't recognize, like, some are 100%. It's the same in that state as it is in ours, and others are limited.
Some are limited.
And some are zero.
Yeah, the... Mm-hmm. I'll be nice.
New York.
The more blue states are zero. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some states who their permitting process requires some training, mm-hmm. you know, some minimal training. So, you know, if Alabama doesn't require that, then they don't fully honor, you know, Alabama's permit.
Right. There's like a green light, a yellow light, and a red light. Pretty the way much. I look at it. I mean, maybe that's not a great analogy, but when I traveled, there's oh, these states are completely cool. Everything's normal. This state, limited. This state, no.
Yeah.
Also, we have talked about it, too, with the concealed carry permit. If you've got a pretty common name, it helps you when you go purchase that firearm.
Yeah. You know,
How's that work?
Yeah. If you're a John Smith or, you know, something like that, you go purchase a firearm, you know, you're probably going to be delayed for several days. If you have, there's a recently changed law, rule, however you want to apply that, that if you have a permit, that negates that NICS check, and so you can walk out with, unless there's a problem, you can walk out with your gun.
This Dirt Digger says, I always use my pistol permit as a certified form of identification when I need a second form. That's another use. Philip said, I asked a game and fish question on Facebook the other day, and three different game wardens gave me three different answers. Let me tell you, Philip, you cannot hunt over cracked corn for doves. However, if the sheriff or police, if I ask a sheriff or police officer a legal question, I'll get one answer. What can we do about variations in the laws? I guess he's asking for DC or Game and Fish.
Well, there are no variations in the law.
Yeah.
You know, it just,
the law is the law.
It is. And the, you know, I guess people working for the various agencies, you know, they may have different opinions. However, you know, the law is the law. That, you know, it's not our job to interpret the law. It's, you know, it's in black and white,
mm-hmm.
you know, what the rules are. And, you know, I would say if there is a question, you know, certainly doesn't hurt to ask, but educate yourself on it too. You can find anything you want on the internet nowadays.
I would say have them give you a signed letter that what you're planning to do, Philip, is legal.
Yeah.
And then you could say, here, Officer so-and-so, you know, yeah, game warden so-and-so told me.
I can almost picture that conversation, you know, hey, is this legal? Well, no, not really, but, I've got bigger and better things to do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the discretion part, too,
exactly.
Right? That's there's some of this, like, there's a law, but there's also, you've told me before, there's a discretion whether sometimes there's multiple violations and you're going to, because there's a bigger violation, you're going to tack on this other one, but maybe that small one, if somebody wasn't doing anything else wrong, am I interpreting this right?
I can see some of those conversations happening, and I've heard some of them in the past.
All right. Unnamed texter, I think. Y'all give yourselves nickname or first name here. I like it when you do that. Would you ask the sheriff if Alabama is a stop and ID state?
I mean, if I'm understanding the question, I mean, if you're stopped in a vehicle, you know, in for a traffic violation or, you know, for whatever reason, you're required to produce your driver's license and to prove that you can legally operate that vehicle. And, you know, and then whatever.
But you don't, like,
I'm really not sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
And maybe texter, if you can clarify that a little bit more. I mean, I know that comes up when we talk about roadblocks, right? That you know, you're not stopping me at a roadblock because I did anything wrong. You're doing a check for ID and insurance, right?
Yep.
It's not like, hey, I saw a violation and you're stopping.
Right. I mean, those are two totally separate, you know,
right.
incidents. Now,
But y'all aren't riding the roads and pulling somebody over just to check if they got an ID.
No. No. I mean, there has to be some kind of infraction. And, you know, usually if we stop somebody, it's not just to ask how your day is. You know, there's been some kind of something that you've drawn the attention to give that deputy or also probable cause to stop you.
You know, this is a question for me, and maybe people live in the country like me. If I see somebody, and I, you know, I don't want to ring the phones when I don't have to, but if I see somebody riding dirt roads, right, and the back of their Ford Ranger pickup is full of garbage, trash, garbage, I always get my trash, whatever the city, either bag or stuff, just crap. I'll put it in some Sullivanese. If they're riding the roads and they're turning, going this and that, is it wrong of me to call Sheriff's Department and say, I'm not sure they're going to litter it, but my gosh, if they find a dead-end road, they pile out garbage everywhere.
No, that's not wrong at all. I mean, that's what we're there for. And you know,
Done it yet. What I'm saying, if I saw them doing it, I have no question or whatever.
I mean, that's no different than calling, hey, there's a suspicious vehicle driving down this road. They've got a bunch of debris in the back.
They got a washing machine, part of a swing set, some bags, some old carpet.
And there ain't no house down there.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, certainly
that's what we see.
Certainly call us. And again, I wish that the laws for littering were the punishment was much more severe. Because you've heard me.
You've been on this for
littering and people by parking in handicapped spots that aren't handicapped are you know, two things that I despise.
That hadn't changed over the decades with you.
When I retire, I want to maybe get a job, create a job that all I do is ride around parking lots and hang tickets for parking illegally in handicapped spots.
Ooh, I might want to do a ride along with that one. Let's see. Butterknife comes back and says, I'm all for guns, but eventually we got to look at some of these mass shootings. The guns are not illegal. Bentley closed down the hospitals, and we have kids dying at DHR, which is, that's a whole other story. God, if we continue to support the mental health issues, in Alabama, less and less will gun laws have to be increased. We're trying to save money on social programs like mental health at the same time decreasing gun laws.
Well, I'll go back to what I said earlier. You know, if someone is intent on committing, you know, some kind of horrendous act, there's nothing you can do to prevent that other than lock them up. Mm-hmm. And that's not always a solution for somebody with mental health. And as far as, you know, increasing or restricting gun laws, for me, that's an absolute no. And, you know, that's, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's cliche, but, you know, a gun don't pull a trigger by itself. And, you know, but I do believe in some previous recent meetings that not only Alabama, but more specifically Mobile, is headed, you know, in a very positive direction with some mental health things. And a lot of that is, you know, Mayor Stimson has really taken a lead on moving that ball forward. So,
and we're having to do it at a county and municipal level. And to go back what Butterknife said, is something, Butterknife, I don't know if you were listening back then, I lost it when Bentley closed the hospitals because, number one, I saw it on the streets. Number two, I have enough friends that are in the world of law enforcement said, we're dealing with stuff that's not what we're trained to do, right? I mean, and Bentley, if y'all remember that, Governor Bentley, I know you do, but I'm the audience, he shut them down and kicked the people out. They went back to the county and city level.
And they literally kicked them out. And, you know,
people may have forgotten that. Y'all go back and research that. That was an absolute thing that happened in the state. You know, I'm going to save money for the state. Yet you're going to and cause big problem for municipalities and counties.
You know, one of the problems we're having, and again, I think some of this will be better in the near future. You know, the way it's set up currently, if let's just say someone's in jail that had some mental issues, the criminal part's been resolved, we can't release them unless we have a verified address for them to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's to me not a law enforcement issue.
But
that keeps my jail filled up, unfortunately. And
with not maybe not the people that need to be in there.
Exactly. You know, as long as they're violent, we were at, I think, 1603 this morning. So if they're violent, I'll stack them and pack them. Mm-hmm. But
the law that comes down that y'all have to do this a certain way is not conducive to
it's not
the right thing to do for these people.
You know, in the works of challenging.
Okay. I don't doubt that that'll come up. You know, when the sheriff says something, get ready. There'll be a headline coming very, very soon. Coming right back with Sheriff Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1252, FM Talk 106.5, and 7-8 minutes left with Sheriff Birch. Your chance to ask your question. Norm in West Mobile said, are pistol permits still free for retired military?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Unnamed texter, I think unnamed texter. Asked the sheriff, as someone who lives in downtown Mobile, I have noticed the last couple of weeks the police are down here pulling people over left and right, which, by the way, we've done the stories on that. They're doing it in the morning time, giving people tickets on their way to work. Wouldn't it be more beneficial if they were doing this at night? I know it's the city police, not the sheriff's department, but it seems like they're out hassling the wrong people. Although we had the news report on it. It's like they did it from, one of them was like from 8 at night to 4 in the morning or something.
Yeah, and they actually publicize, you know, when they're going
to
be doing it.
They have to.
And right? So I don't necessarily agree with that, but they do.
Isn't that the law?
Not really.
Okay. I was always thought it was.
Not really. It's a suggestion.
Okay.
If you read
I'm learning stuff, yeah.
So, but again, that they announced that they were going to do that. You know, most of the people who've heard me talk on this show before, I'm not a big traffic person. So
you've always made that clear.
What the city does, you know, I have no control over, but it's not my cup of tea.
Except for parking, because Joshua comes back on the parking thing. He said, handicapped parking violators look at you like, quote, I dare you to say something, end quote. And they even look offended when someone with a handicap tag parks beside them, like, quote, how dare you actually use this parking legally, end quote.
Well, again, I probably act more often than I should, but if I go to a location and it's very clear that person's not handicapped and they park there, I do approach them. And I say, you've got until the record gets here to get back in your car and move. I actually called one person out while they were paying for their groceries. I said, I've got a wrecker on the way. And
that's a light the fire?
It just boils my blood. It really does. Because there are many people who truly need those.
Yeah, 100%. I got a family member that needs it. Yeah.
It just, that I'm getting worked up just talking about it.
Tommy says, Who do I call about a neighbor who's burning every day? Most days it's dark smoke and a chemical smell. I'm in Tillman's Corner.
You could probably call the fire department and let them determine what he's burning.
Well, we're also let me throw this in from a guy that likes to set the woods on fire legally and all that. We're in a burn ban right now. I'm waiting for the end of October until I can start burning again.
Well, there's a burn ban, but also if they're burning tires or, you know, materials that are not supposed to be burning.
So that's a fire department.
And Tillman's Corner is within the city's jurisdiction. You know, call the fire department, let them go check it out.
Okay, this from Bill said, can you ask why I can sit at McGowan Park for 10 minutes and witness a handful of jailable offenses from homeless people, but nothing ever seems to be done about them? I was accosted and one almost tried to open my car door. It's putting the citizens in a very dangerous position. If we have to take some kind of deadly force against these crazy, violent, homeless people, then find ourselves spending our lives, savings, defending ourselves in court, something needs to be done besides saying something needs to be done.
Well, again, that is in the heart of the city. You know, I don't have patrol cars, you know, routinely patrolling in this city. However, you know, I don't think our system here, if you are truly defending yourself, you know, you're not going to have to spend your life savings defending yourself. I mean, that's, you know, everyone has a right to be safe in their home, in their car, you know, shopping, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a decision that only you can make. But, you know, if you truly feel like, you know, your life's in danger, then, you know, you have to articulate why you made your decision.
I would say, too, you know, I'm such a free market guy that the people in a shopping center, if that's going on, they need to get law enforcement there or private security, because that's bad for business. I mean,
I
won't go somewhere where I'm going to be hassled.
I believe they do have private security. I've seen cars roving through there. And it's something also that you can, you know, call the precinct, and I believe that's second precinct, you know, but there's a map you can pull up for the city mobile to tell you which precinct, and just, you know, ask for a close patrol in that area, let them know the issues that you've seen, and, you know, I believe they'll be responsive to it.
And Bill, I know some second precinct people, they may be listening, so they're probably paying attention. Charles says, hey, because we're talking about the handicap, he said, don't leave out the fire lanes, people parking them all day, everywhere.
Well, I can understand that, but, you know, the handicap thing just really, really, really boils my blood, along with littering.
Yep. Speaking of the fires, too, this coming in from Cheese Wagon, he's great on the traffic. He said, a vehicle fire, this may be for you as you leave here, vehicle fire southbound I-65 at Airport Boulevard. So we probably should see the smoke from the studios right here.
Yeah.
So there's a heads up traffic-wise. So southbound, y'all. So if you're, you know, you're at Moffett Road right now, trucking along south, may want to get off early like that. See if I got all those others. Once again, can you renew concealed carry permits online?
Absolutely.
I can answer that. I'm doing that right now.
I mean, that is the fastest way to do it. And, it's a faster return also.
Okay. And any other questions? Like maybe, I don't know, who's in jail or anything like that? Where do they go for that info?
MobileSO.com. Who's in jail? Go to my neighborhood. You can see real-time crime around your whatever address you plug in. You know, one other thing I'd like to say before we close regarding this election coming up. This is one of the most consequential mayor elections in my lifetime. The turnout for the previous election was piss poor.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better way to say it. Get out and vote, people. Or you know, we're going to have a different city. And I'll leave it at that.
There you go. Sheriff, appreciate your time. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.